Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. We're live at SHRM22, the world's largest gathering of HR professionals. We're pulling back the curtain on the industry's hottest recruiting technology. Now, here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Andy on from Song Division, and we'll be learning about the business case or the use case for why customers and prospects use Song Division. So why don't we start with introductions? Andy, would you do us a favor and introduce both yourself and Song Division?
Thanks, William. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My name's Andy Sharp. I founded Song Division in Australia in 2003, and we are a people engagement company. We bond teams using the science of music. We work with clients like Microsoft, Google, Pfizer, Capital One. Typically, HR folks come to us to help build corporate culture, to amplify their core values, communicate their purpose. After a merger and an acquisition, to speed up connections between the teams. And
right.
So, and we do that with musicians who have worked with the likes of everyone from Prince to Adele. And we do it, from across Asia, across Europe, and across the U.S.
Well, this is fascinating because I've never heard of this, and I love it. So why don't you take us into a couple of examples of the type of work? We don't have to use brands and stuff like that,
sure.
But just the types of examples of the people engagement.
If you don't mind, I will use a brand because they want me to on this first one.
We've just
done a big event with PwC for their new managers.
Yeah.
And it was 700 senior associates and managers, a four-day what they're calling corporate Coachella. And to combat the great resignation, they want to give these folks an experience that they'll never forget. And there was no sort of academic content delivery. It was all experiences, and it was repeated over 5 weeks. So it was 700 people repeated over 5 weeks.
Wow.
And we were front and center, and so that involves us. We were starting the day with a morning rave, and then our house band is the house band for the general sessions.
Right.
There's collaborative songwriting processes where we actually get the audience to create songs about their story, why they're there, and then we cover the big party at night, which is always interactive. So
right.
that's one example, and I guess on the other end, with COVID, our business had been in person for 18 years, and then we, like everyone else, went virtual, and lucky for us, music still connects virtually, and I think we've done over 2,500 virtual events since March 2020.
How did you come up with this idea? What's the origin story?
It was an accident, William.
Okay. It
was an accident.
Of course it is.
It was my background. I was originally studying law in Sydney, and then my band was signed to AC/DC's label over in the UK during the Britpop period.
Yeah.
Pulp and Blur.
Yeah, of course.
And I lived that life, and then when the band split, I ended up back in Australia, and somehow I was recruited by IBM, and I had a corporate life in their global financing division, so their bank, which is where I experienced what it's like to be onboarded, and good team building events and bad team building events, and incentive trips and sales kickoffs, and they put me through an MBA. But during that time, I was still writing songs for pop artists in Australia, and I was asked by Yothu Yindi, who your European audience might know, not necessarily the American audience, but is Australia's most famous Indigenous band, and they invited me to run songwriting workshops at a festival where I would get 15 Indigenous teenagers at a time to write an original song, which was petrifying. I'd never had to write a song. I'm not from Nashville. I can't do it on demand.
Right, right. It's not a formula for you.
There was no formula. It was like, I've got 17 guys and girls. They don't know me. I don't know them. And we're like, okay, let's write a song. Does anyone know a few chords on the guitar? All right, yep. What style of music do you like? We like reggae and gangster rap. Okay, so we're going to do
fantastic.
A reggae verse and a gangster rap breakdown. And let's write some poems about your story, fishing with your grandpa and playing football with your cousins. And then I had some amazing session musicians with me, and they would take those lyrics and sing it over the music so it already sounds incredible.
Right.
And the kids would sing along doing the background vocals, and we'd record it and perform it at the festival that night. And then companies started asking me to do that with their teams.
I love this. Well, I've seen creative workshops before work, but usually it's been in kind of a painting and creative arts type place. Like, yep, let's get together and make poems or create a painting together or do sculptures or stuff like that. I haven't seen people use music in this way, but I love this idea of being able to use this as a way of pulling your people together and bonding.
Yeah.
And team building, like you said that earlier. So I love it. Give us some other examples of workshops that you've run or ways that customers have utilized yours.
This year, we've launched what's called our leadership track,
mm-hmm,
which is a 6-part, 90-minute session delivered virtually. And it's focusing on, you know, what we think are pretty foundational future skills for leaders, which are, it's not complicated leadership training. It's just creating a space and a time for people to come together and discuss things like, and the modules are team cohesion, creativity, feedback, engagement. Create a space for that. They discuss the main principles. Then they write songs. They write lyrics about it to anchor the learning. And they have fun doing it. From our experience, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners' experiences, that some of this leadership training can get fairly impenetrable.
Right.
And it is truly interactive. A lot of these sessions, I guess, they're interactive in the sense that you put your hand up and answer a question, but we've actually got these folks discussing these concepts, like, what do I know my team's strengths? What was going on in the general session with,
right,
Ariana Huffington this morning? Do I,
right,
know what matters to my people? We talk about it, they write lyrics about it, and then a song is created at the end of it with their lyrics, and they've chosen the style of song. So it could be a heavy metal song, it could be a,
right,
a New Orleans,
yeah,
style, whatever they want. And so we do 6 of these. It just creates a time and a space to safe environment to talk about it, to have some fun together, get to know each other better, and we think that makes a big difference back in the workplace.
You know, what's interesting is it's almost the anti-training. You know what I mean? Because you're creating a collaborative environment, and it's fun. So even though that's training, right? Even though there's this experiential part of this that just, it seems like they're going to remember this years from now. They won't remember that leadership development, whatever course from whatever school that they went through, you know, but they'll remember this.
I have 20 years worth of folks coming up to me singing the chorus of the song that they wrote in a group of 15 or 50,000. It sticks.
Is a dumb question alert. Do you put all these on Spotify?
No, they don't go on Spotify. They go on...
Because they're theirs.
Well, it depends on the client. The client privately gets it on, gets a video.
Yes.
Which goes on Vimeo.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they,
yeah,
get a SoundCloud recording.
Right.
Because Spotify is public. So at least with, right, SoundCloud, they can control it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I would love to go into a library of these and listen to some.
There's lots of them.
Oh, my
there's
goodness.
Lots of them. Yeah.
So tell me about, we'll do some of the buy-side things. The demo, when you first show people Song Division for the first time, which, by the way, Joy Division is one of my favorite,
yeah,
bands,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
And so, like, when we first got to that, I'm like, I got to ask about that.
We share that.
Okay, good. So when you get to show Song Division to people for the first time, what's their aha moment? Like, what do they fall in love with?
I think they fall in love with, if we're showing them a video, for example,
yeah,
they fall in love with the looks on people's faces when they're on stage creating a song together.
Yep.
You know, and it's we're not trying to convince people,
right,
that training and team bonding is a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to, no, proselytize that. That's too hard. We'll,
yeah,
leave,
yeah,
that for other people.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
the clients that we work with,
they already get that.
They're progressive companies.
But they want something
new.
Everyone
loves music. It doesn't matter. You know, you've got the senior folks are in a room. They're creating a song together. They're with some junior folks. Somehow Billie Eilish comes up and the senior folks are like, oh, my grand Matt's daughter
likes
Billy.
Yeah.
And they've got something to talk about. They don't usually have a lot of things to talk about. So, yeah, it's the universal language. It's a lot of our work is referrals. So people are referred to us. They're told that it's an amazing experience and what the benefits are. But I don't think people really get it until they've come out of a session. Because at the start, it can be a little bit, you know, we don't want to put them in an uncomfortable zone, but we want to just put them on out of their day-to-day life. And the idea of writing a song, the obvious fear, which is my biggest fear, the guy said before, I'm going to sing the interview. It's like, I'm not a singer.
No.
The concept, I can feel the cortisol flooding through my body thinking about that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When we come into a company and we tell them they're going to write a song, the first thing we say is, you're not going to have to sing on your own. It's not about that. It's about working together, capturing what we're learning, what we're talking about. You're going to collaborate.
In a different way.
And by the time they write the song, because they've written it, you can't get out of their way. They want to perform the song together. And then when they perform it, because the musicians are so good, everyone, it's like, who's got the copyright? We're all going to be rich.
Yeah. We just need to get this into the hands of the right people.
Of the right person, exactly.
No, it's not that easy, by the way.
No.
Two last questions. One is questions people should ask you when they're... Because, again, you said you're not proselytizing. You're not trying to teach people a training that this type of, you know, that this type of development and is important. But it is truly unique. So what should they be asking you?
Well, I think the onus is on my team, is asking the HR professionals and you know, we work with C-suite marketing sales professionals is... Where are the challenges in your organisation? Where they're the conversations that we're having? Have you just gone through a merger and acquisition? Have you got a whole lot of folks that joined the company during COVID and haven't actually met each other in person? How do you deal with engagement with remote teams? So we're having those conversations with clients and then designing an experience to solve their problems, which ranges from a bonding experience, an engaging experience, a learning experience in the L&D front or a celebration of some sorts.
Love that. Last question. We're here at Sherm Annual in New Orleans. What's success for you here?
We've marketed as a company. Like we're very well known in the meetings and events world.
Right.
And we have been for 20 years.
Right.
And we've always been brought into events by HR folks. But this is our... And I'm here with Angus Clark, who runs our US team, who also on the side plays guitar for Cher and Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Okay.
And so we want to get to know the actual HR industry. And so meeting folks like yourself and, you know, we're meeting folks every day of all backgrounds and companies and... Yeah, everything that we're hearing here, the focus on culture, the importance of culture, I think we're in the right spot. So it's been successful.
And create experiences, memorable experiences.
Exactly.
Well, brother, I appreciate so much you coming on the podcast.
William, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks for everyone listening to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, live at Sherm 22. Check out the latest industry podcasts, webinars, articles, and news at recruitingdaily.com.